الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أحب أن يكون أقوى الناس فليتوكل على الله. صلوات. We have been discussing in these nights about the fact that the religion Islam is summarized in a word, and that single word is love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the best description of our religion. And this love, the love of Allah and His beloved personalities, the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, is the foundation of our entire religion, and everything else of the religion depends on the love. And if the love concept is there and is steadfast, everything else can still be corrected. But if the love of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, which is the love of Allah, is missing, then nothing else can be corrected. And Quran is clear in its words when it says that وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ, those who have iman are severe in their love towards Allah. So we find that this love has certain alaim and signs, and we talked about those signs in each of these nights, and tonight is the turn for the next sign, which is tawakkul on Allah. If we truly and sincerely love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved personalities, then we are supposed to have tawakkul on Him in every matter of our life. And tawakkul, like several other Islamic concepts, is misunderstood by some. It has to be kept in our minds that the concept of tawakkul is that we rely upon Allah after fulfilling our duties, not before fulfilling our duties. If we start saying that I am doing tawakkul on Allah but I did not fulfill my obligations. This is what in Arabic we call tawakkul. I'm doing tawakkul, that I'm transferring my burden of responsibilities on the shoulders of others, and I'm trying to escape from my responsibilities. This is not called tawakkul to begin with. Tawakkul is after we have fulfilled our fariḍa and responsibility, then in terms of achieving the natija and result, we don't care about the natija and result. This is the divine domain. Let us not penetrate into His domain. We rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take care of the natija. Whether we get the apparent results in the life of dunya, what the Ahlul Dunya considered to be, you know, the results, or we do not achieve those results that the Ahlul Dunya perceive to be the results, but as long as we are fulfilling our fariza towards Allah, we are successful. So Imam Mazloom Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam, is successful in the eyes of Allah, despite the fact that he becomes shaheed, despite the fact that his family members get killed, they are shaheed, despite the fact the remaining ones became captives, despite the fact Yazid la'natullahi alayhi remains into power for next 2 years, despite the fact that, you know, that we find there is so much insults done against the Ahlul Bayt throughout their travel from Medina, from Makkah, from Karbala towards, you know, Kufa, and from Kufa towards Sham, so many of the insults. But despite all that insults and wrongs, we find that Imam Hussein and his family members are successful in the eyes of Allah. Apparently, isn't that right? So Ahlul Dunya may say whatever they want to say, and we don't care about what they say, because we have our divine criterias of judging the things. Because Imam Hussein alayhi salam performed his fara'id towards Allah, that's the reason why we consider him to be successful. We don't care about the results. So tawakkul in the science of ilm al-akhlaq is defined as breaking away from the creatures and having 100% disappointment towards the creatures, and having 100% trust in Allah and reliance in Allah about the natija of our actions. This is how we describe tawakkul. So breaking away from the people, the creatures, the khalq, and having zero hope, hopelessness about the creatures. That means we end up believing that the creatures can do us no benefit. Let's not attach any hope whatsoever from any creature of Allah. This is how we define tawakkul. Just like you find people who commit suicides. Suicide is haram in Islam. Isn't it right? But those who commit suicides, they commit the suicide because they lose their hope in their life. Their future is dark. They perceive it to be dark. There is no ray of hope visible for them. There is no light at the end of the tunnel for them. Isn't that right? So they are totally hopeless about their future and their life. So in the concept of tawakkul, we are supposed to be hopeless towards the creatures, that the creatures can benefit me, and the creatures can provide a solution for me, and the creatures can make me successful. Instead, I lose the hope towards the creatures and attach my hope towards the creator of all the creatures. This is how we define tawakkul. And if you turn to the seerat of our prophets, if we turn to the seerats of our a'imma alayhimus salam, you find they have displayed the best of the examples. Let's start from the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Shaykhul Anbiya ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. So we find Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam brings his wife Hajar to this deserted, barren land that Quran calls to be biwadin ghayre zi zar'in, a valley without a plantation. The valley which Quran calls to be a valley without a plantation. No plant grows in that valley. That kind of barren land. So now Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is bringing his wife Hajar with a small baby Ismail, and there was no holy Kaaba constructed at that time. It was constructed way later by Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail both. Now Hazrat Ismail is a baby. There is no Kaaba, there is no population, there is no house, nothing, no human. Can you imagine? And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is bringing his wife into such a barren land and leaving the wife in the desert with a newborn baby Ismail. And when she asks her husband that upon whose command have you brought us here, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam replies back, upon the command of Allah. She says, fine, in other words, just go. The one who, if it is upon the command of Allah, He is never going to let us get wasted. If you remember, I mentioned the hadith of Amir Mumin alayhi salam on that night in the youth workshop, where Imam Ali alayhi salam said, that if your children are awliyaullah, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ. Allah does not waste His beloved servants. So all we need to do, our side of the job, is to strive to become, to fall in the category of one of the beloved. The rest is already guaranteed, taken care of. Let's go by the books, let's go by the system, let's go by the principles, let's go by the divine formulas. Let's chip in and adjust and adapt ourselves according to what He has defined, how He's running the universe for us to become successful. So that's the key to success, to understand the divine principles and adjust ourselves into those principles. Now Hazrat Ibrahim leaves, his wife and newborn baby, she has few dates. How long can the dates last? And a little water with her. How long would the water last? Obviously it ended. Now the baby is crying because baby is thirsty. She goes towards the Mount Safa first and climbs over the mountain to see if she can find some water. She doesn't find any water. Now she goes to the Mount of Marwa, is it right, to see if she can find some water from there. And she couldn't find. Now when she goes to the Mount Marwa, she hears some voice. So she rushes back. She comes back towards the Mount of Safa to see if there's some caravan passing by in the desert. But she couldn't find. Then she again hears some voice from the side of the Marwa. She again goes back to the Marwa Mount. And this routine was performed 7 times by Hazrat Hajar, the great grandmother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam, her name is not Hajara, just a FYI for your correction. Her actual name is Hajar. So Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam, the great grandmother of our beloved Prophet, is in the right, carrying the Noor of Rasulullah in her womb. She is awliyaullah, she is part of the beloved servants of Allah. Allah never lets His beloved servants get wasted. So let's remember this rule of the thumb. So now, when finally in the 7th time she goes to the Mount Marwa and still could not find any clue for water, now that she, our ulama say, now that Hazrat Hajar breaks her tawajjuh and attention from the creatures, now she's disappointed from getting any benefit from the creatures. Now she does her tawajjuh and attention towards the Creator and starts doing her munajat towards Allah. Oh, you the one who helps the helpless. In other words, which I'm paraphrasing the munajat in all these narrations in my words. So we find that now that she did the munajat, before the munajat ended, the narration says, before she could end her munajat, she hears the voice of the wing of Jibreel coming. This is the sign of tawakkul. That means we break away and become helpless from the hopeless from the creatures. As long as we have hope with the creatures, attached towards the creatures, then we are not fitting into that concept. So we find now Jibreel is sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, And narrations are different. Some say Jibreel put his wing under the feet of Ismail. Some, and that's how the fountain of Zamzam started to burst out. And some narrations say he actually held the feet of Ismail and rubbed it over the ground. And that's how the fountain of Zamzam came out. So this fountain of Zamzam is basically the madhar and reflection of the tawakkul of Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam. Please say salawat. Allah loved it so much. This routine was loved by Allah so much that Allah made it part of the arkan of Hajj till the day of judgment. Hajj is one of the most beloved worships in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one of the most comprehensive ones. It has so many things included in it, along with it. One of the most exclusive worships of Allah. When Zurara ibn A'yan, this one of the greatest companions in the history of Ahlul Bayt, Zurara had, you know, 11 members of his family whom we call Alul A'yan, and all of them were great personalities. Zurara and Suma'a, his brother, and they have narrated huge bulk of narrations from Imam al-Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. And when Zurara comes to Mawla al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam and says that it is now 40 years that I am, you know, coming on and off to you and learning the ahkam of Hajj from you, how long is going to take? How long? When is going to end, in other words? And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam replies back to Zurara that Baytun Hujja ilayhi qabla Adama bi alfay aam turidut an tafna masailuhu fi arba'ina aaman. The house towards which the Hajj has been performed 2000 years before Adam, you want the masail of Hajj to end in 40 years? So this is one of the most unique worships of Islam. Hajj of the Kaaba, Hajj has been performed 2000 years before the creation of Adam alayhi salam, the most unique worship. So we find that this is a sign of tawakkul of Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam. And now we find, see, there's a story narrated from Hatim al-Asam. He was about to leave his house. Well, let's imagine if some of us were there in the place of Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam. How would we behave towards the Prophet Ibrahim leaving his wife? Some of the people may think it's a domestic violence. Isn't it right? A domestic abuse. Leaving the wife in a desert with a newborn baby without any food and just going away, and there's no human being to take care of her. Isn't it right? Some people may have filed lawsuit against Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Isn't it right? Look at how far some people have gotten from the values and principles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they have a mindset which is defined by different religions and different phenomena and different systems who are ruling on the world. They don't have a mindset defined and a mindset which is set by the values of the Holy Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. This is what we are supposed to do, to raise ourselves under the values of the Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Not by the state. Isn't it right? As we find, the children are raised by the state. In Islam, we don't want our children to be raised by the state. We want our children to be raised by the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, by their parents under those teachings. Peace say salawat. Skyrocketing rates of divorces nowadays. Divorcing is taking place the first month of marriages. Isn't it right? So much. It never used to happen earlier. So we find that Islamic values have been missing. So we find that when Hatim al-Asam was departing his home, and he said to his wife, how much nafaqa shall I leave behind for you? And she says, her wife was Ahlul Ma'rifah, someone who has Ma'rifat. She replies back, well, leave as much as my life is remaining. He said, well, you pose a difficult question to me. How in the world can I know how much is your life? Then she replies back, وَكِّلْهُ إِلَى مَنْ يَعْلَمْ. That means then leave it up to the one who knows. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows how much is the life. Some of the neighbors, some of the women in the neighborhood, they came into her house. You know, they have some women, some people who have this kind of attitude. You know, your husband left and he didn't leave behind that much food for you. Isn't it right? And she replies back, إِنَّهُ كَانَ آكِلًا مَا كَانَ رَازِقًا. وہ خود رزق کا کھانے والا تھا, رزق دینے والا تھوڑی تھا. My husband was the consumer of the risk and sustenance of Allah. He was not the provider. Isn't it right? Please say salawat. This is about tawakkul in very minute, minor things of our life. You know, how do we behave towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we find that Malik ad-Dinar narrates that he was going towards Makkah. And he discovered in the middle of nowhere, there was a guy, his hands and feet were tied up, thrown in the desert, and I saw a crow, you know, making pieces of a bread with its beak and putting the pieces into the mouth of that person. And then I saw the crow picking up some water in the beak and dropping into the mouth of that person. I went forward and I asked him, what's the matter? And he said, well, this is what happened. You know, they were dacoits who looted me. They take away everything and then they tied up my hands and feet. And for 3 days I was hungry and thirsty. And I was attaching my hope towards people, creatures. Somebody may come up and show up and help provide some help to me. And after 3 days, I became hopeless towards the people. And I turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Khaliqul Asbab, the creator of all the causes, and Musabbibul Asbab, the ones who arranges all the causes. Isn't it right? So obviously in Ilmul Irfan, we don't deny the causes. Isn't it right? You cannot deny the cause. There has to be a cause that to bring about the effect. So, the divine the cause is a qawl jahil, like my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Hafizahullah was saying. If somebody denies the cause, he's a jahil. Obviously Allah is the one who's the creator of all causes. He is running the universe, you know, through the theory of cause and effect. And he himself made it. He is the creator of all the causes. But what Islam says, what Quran teaches us, what Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam teach us is Rafdul Asbab. That means Asbab ko thokar marna. That means not paying any attention towards the causes and instead having our attention attached towards the creator of all the causes, which is Allah. And if my teacher was saying that if somebody says, you know, he was saying that Quran baraye rafze asbab amad na baraye nafye ilal. Quran was revealed by Allah so that we learn to stop paying attention towards the causes and start having tawajjuh. Not to deny the causes. We don't deny it. We go after the causes too. We go and do our effort to make money, which is jihad in Islam, to make money for our family from the halal. We go after the causes because Allah asks us to go after the causes. But we don't attach our hope to the causes. We attach our hope. There's a fine line between two things. We go after the causes, but we do the rafdul asbab. That means we are not attaching any hope with the causes. Instead, our hope is entirely towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find the whole Quran came to teach us rafdul asbab, asbab ko thukrana, and having tawajjuh towards Allah. This is why the Quran came. So we find how many people understand that and apply that in their practical lives. So this person was tied up, his hands were tied up, his feet were tied up, everything was taken away, looted in the middle of nowhere. And for 3 days he was hungry and thirsty, attaching hope towards the people. After the third day, he turns his tawajjuh towards Allah, and Allah is the one who sends this crow to come and make pieces of the bread and pour it into his mouth. Please say salawat.
A person comes to one of our urafa and says, I have a big family, it is hard for me to feed all of them. And he replied back, okay, then take out all those people from your house, take them out, whose risk is not on Allah, just take them out of the door. Any member of your family whose risk is not on Allah, then just take them out of your house. Risk of everyone is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't it right?
Look at the perceptions of the people, how people perceive. It depends on their level of ma'rifat. And level of ma'rifat depends on the level of their knowledge. And the level of knowledge they deserve to receive or not receive depends on the level of taharat and how much did they abstain from the sins themselves. Knowledge is given according to the level of our taharatul qalb. That's the justice of God.
So ball is always in our court in Islam. We have to behave ourselves well towards the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that another great personality of ours, one of the Urafa, he was traveling towards in the desert, and this person meets him and says, well, I don't see any, you will have any Zad and Rahila, you will have any necessity items that we carry during the travel with us, you have any vehicle to ride, any animal, anything?
He points towards the heaven, you know, to that person. So he understood that he has tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So this guy thought to himself, well, let me test this person, this scholar. So if that's the case that you have tawakkul on Allah,
okay, I need some water, can you please provide some water to me? And he obviously raises his hand and he receives some water and he presents this to him. And this guy was surprised by that behavior.
Our urafa have karamat. We don't call it a mu'jiza. It's called karamat. Karamat is different than the mu'jiza.
So he said, how come you end up having this level and daraja in the eyes of Allah, that if you do an ishara and you do dua towards Allah, He listens to you? He replied back, أَذْكُرُهُ فِي الْخَلَوَاتِ يَذْكُرُنِي فِي الْفَلَوَاتِ.
That means, I remember Allah in my loneliness, so He remembers me in the deserts.
So if we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our loneliness, that's the sign of the taqwa of the person, the adalatul haqiqiyah of the person, that when we are alone where no one is watching us among the humans, that's where how much we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please say salawat.
So in Islam, we are supposed to have tawakkul on Allah after fulfilling our fariidah. When we have fulfilled our fara'id, so a faqir person, there was a poor person who was very much destitute, bringing some food back to his family. Obviously, in Islam, we have a concept of sakhawat and jood, generosity. That's not my subject to talk about. But there's something superior than jood and sakha in Islam, which is called ithar. Is that right? Ithar means you ignore your necessity and give preference to the necessities of others over your own necessity. That's how the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt used to operate in their lives. And look at the barakat in their lives. Everything of the Prophet was Mubarak and Maymoon, full of barakat and yumin. And the reason why we call Ashabul Yameen to be Ashabul Yameen, my teacher was saying, is because every action they used to perform back then in the life of dunya was full of yumin and barakat. That's the reason we call, not because only the book of deed is given in the right hand, which is called Yameen in Arabic. That's not the real reason. The actual reason why we call Ashabul Yameen to be Ashabul Yameen, because all the a'mal they used to perform back then in the life of dunya was full of yumn, which means barakat. So this poor guy returning back to his home, buying some food, and on his way he encounters with a Sayyida, a Hashimiyya, a Sayyid woman. a woman from the family and zurriyat of the Holy Prophet. How much sawab is in Islam to help the family of the Holy Prophet? Is it right? So, if you give preference to them, you are actually not respecting them in the real sense. You are actually respecting the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, from whose lineage they belong. Every moment has respect, not just the Sayyids. Even non-Sayyids have respect because of their iman and taqwa.
But obviously, the Sayyids have respect because of their lineage as well. So if you happen to respect a Sayyid person, and that's what he did, he gave away all what he had towards that Sayyida woman. Now he feels embarrassed. How can I return back to my own home?
So we find that, look at the arrangements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever we do sincerely towards Allah, Allah always rewards.
The narration tells that this person, he receives, a person arrives from Egypt and he gives him some gold coins, 500 dinars, that such and such person passed away in Egypt and he claimed that he was your relative. And he never remembers that he's my relative. He claimed that he was your relative and he has no other relative behind other than you.
So now this is the inheritance that you receive from your own cousin, far away cousin.
And another businessman of the city, they look at the arrangement of the Musabbibul Asbab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arranges, another businessman of the city sees the dream that such and such money that you were supposed to pay, go and pay it to that person. And he becomes the richest person of that town. Please say salawat.
He sees the Holy Prophet and Amir Mumin alayhi salam in the dream, and they said, because you did this behavior, in other words, towards, my child, a person of their family, we made you the richest person of the town.
It's all, where is the tawakkul? If we have rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's another story that one of the teachers was saying, that one person, a faqir person, once he got some money and he liked to eat fish a lot. Never had a chance to buy
the expensive, it was expensive to buy fish. He was a faqir, could not afford it.
Once he ended up having some money, somehow, so on that day he purchased fish for his family. And as he was returning back, again he encounters a person who is poorer than him. He gives away the same fish to that poor person.
This is the sign of a bar, the sign of a nikukar, a good doer in the Quran. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ.
You will never reach the birr, the level of goodness, in other words, you would never achieve the level of goodness until you give away from the things you love. From what you love. Not the thing that I give away my ripped and broken and furniture, and chairs to the Sunday school. And broken furniture to the Islamic center. Is that right? And used clothes to a poor person.
My teacher was saying, somebody who gives away the remainder of the food to the poor person, the used up clothes to the person, poor person, this is not Siratul Mustaqim. Certainly he said the truth. This is not the Siratul Mustaqim. That's not the Sirat of Ahlul Bayt.
Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam used to give away from the things they love. Imam Rida alayhi salam used to gather the best of the foods from the ma'ida, from the food spread, and gather it in a bowl or a plate and send it to the poor person in the city ahead of starting the food. This is the Sirat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So we find that he gives away the fish that he used to like a lot. After so long duration, finally he had an opportunity to buy a fish. But now he finds somebody who is poorer than him. He gives away that fish to him.
So now in the dream, he saw Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam coming in his dream, and there were several people with Imam Ali alayhi salam surrounding him, and he says that I saw Imam Ali alayhi salam was looking at my qalb, my heart. And as if there's a book, you know, you're just shuffling the pages one by one, until he comes down to that hajat, that dua of mine, which I had long standing hajat since long. It was not accepted by Allah since long. And Imam Ali, you know, he said to me, your hajat is accepted. It's done, in other words. And there were a bunch of people surrounding him and said, Mawla, ya Amir al-Mumineen, we also have a hajat. He said, you know, he did a big thing. See, giving isar, doing preference to others is a big thing in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt. Please say salawat. This is about tawakkul, how much we rely on our small, minor things in the life. So we find that Ummu Ayman alayha salamullahi alayha is one of the ladies of Jannat, because she is one of those great personalities in the Islamic history for whom the Prophet has said in his Mu'tabar hadith that Ummu Ayman is a lady from Jannat, from paradise. So she has been given the basharat and glad tidings about she is one of the people of paradise. So we find at the time after the shahadat of Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha, she didn't remain in Medina. She already made a commitment that if Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha dies, then she will going to leave Medina towards Makkah. Now see, the narration says Ummu Ayman salamullahi alayha, she goes towards Makkah in the desert, and when she got thirsty, the same thing happened. She addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala straight away. Ahlul Ma'rifat never turn to the creatures. They turn straight to the Creator. This is the sign of the Mahbub personalities of Allah. That everyone who is Mahbub is bound to have tawakkul on Allah initially. Not at the end of the day, but initially, always have tawakkul on Allah. The higher you do tawakkul, the higher is your level in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find she turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah said that I am the khadima, I am the servant of the daughter of the messenger. Are you going to kill me in the desert? In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the water. And the narration says she did not become thirsty for 7 long years in her life. Please say salawat. So Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam are all fasting. Is it right? And the time of iftar comes, and there is a person knocking at the door of Ahlul Bayt. That I am a miskeen person. Miskeen is defined in our fiqh to be somebody who aswa'u halan min al-faqir. Somebody who is more broke than a regular poor person. Although faqir is also a terminology of our fiqh. So there's a definition for faqir too. So we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam gives away his food. Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam gives away. Imam Hassan alayhi salam gives away. Imam Hussain alayhi salam gives away. Everyone gives away. Nobody spares their food. If a sinner like me was there, I would have said, well, one bad person is doing, why am I supposed to give? That's enough for him. We are also hungry. It's wajib on me to save my life. Saving life is wajib in Islamic Sharia. Isn't it right? 1001 ta'wilat and tawjihat are already ready. So we find everyone gives away. Everyone gives away without sparing for themselves. And on the next day, so they basically ate water, drank water, and again on the next day they are fasting. Is that right? Again, we can do a ta'wil and tawjih, whether I'm thirsty or hungry already, then why should I fast? It would be harmful on my health. Is that right? Look at the greatness of Ahlul Bayt. Where does this Nuraniyat come from? There are certain things that they did. They earned the Nuraniyat in the eyes of Allah. So on the next day, the Ahlul Bayt are again fasting. And on the next day, when the time of iftar comes, another person knocks at the door, that I am an orphan. Some of the narrations tell us that all of these people were angels who were coming in that form. That's another discussion to find why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends these kinds of angels. But that's not my subject of discussion. So we find on the next day a person knocks the door that I am the orphan. And again the same thing repeated, that everyone gives away their food to the orphan. How much sawab is there in Islam for feeding one orphan? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in his hadith that ana wa kafilul yatim. He brought his two fingers close to each other. Ana wa kafilul yatim ka hatain. Me and the sponsor of one yatim will be that close in the paradise. Izzat taqallah, if he had taqwa of Allah. This is a blank check from Rasulullah. If we want to be that close in the paradise, is it right? We would be definitely that close to Rasulullah. You know, sadaqa Rasulullah. He said the truth. If we have taqwa and we raise one orphan in our life. And everybody can raise one orphan. Especially we who are living in the US. It's a matter of importance. How much we give importance to our value system. And this is the only guarantee that our orphans will be taken care of. No insurance and no other person in the community can be a guarantor for you not having your orphans, you know, your orphans not taken care of. The only way you can make sure your orphans will be taken care of is through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not by the creatures. I can walk away from this Imam Barga and die and make my children as orphans, isn't it right? If I am taking care of orphans of others, this is the only guarantee on behalf of Allah that He will make sure my orphans will also be taken care of. Please say salawat. So we find that they all give away their food to the orphan, and again it's the second day that they drank water, and on the next day they are again fasting. Look at the azmat of this family. And on the next day, the time of iftar comes, and somebody knocks at the door that I am an asir. That means I am a captive who is recently freed from the jail. I am a captive who is recently freed from the jail. And again, all members of Ahlul Bayt here don't spare a moment to think. Some of the narrations say when you're giving away the sadaqah, don't delay. Because Shaitan said that if you delay in giving away the sadaqah, I will come in the middle of the sadaqah and you. This is exactly what happens. Some people start thinking more at the wrong time. This is not what you are supposed to think. This is something that is decided by the wahi and the hukum of the sharia to give. When the wahi has given the verdict, that's not the room for you to think at that moment. Abuse of aqal. There's an abuse of intellect. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His holy messenger, and the holy messenger arrives in the house of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, and Surah Al-Dahr is revealed in the shan of Ahlul Bayt. Please say salawat. يطعمون الطعام على حبه مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله. That means the only reason why we are feeding you is for the sake of for wajhullah. La nuridu minkum jaza'an wala shukura. We don't need from you any reward or gratefulness. In other words, that you become thankful towards us. One of my teachers in the Hausa, teachers of the Hausa, was saying in his lesson that when you give something to somebody, don't say iltimas dua. Right? Well, some people do, you know. You give a gift to somebody, you know, okay, you know, thank you, you know, okay, just iltimas dua. That means in the niyat, some people have that I don't need any material reward from you, but just pray for me. So in the niyat, some people have that the reward of this is no material thing, just pray for me. So we are making the dua of that moment as a reward in our niyat. There's nothing wrong in asking somebody to do iltimas dua. What the teacher is saying is that don't make this as a reward and jaza of your action in your niyat. Because the jaza of your action is way more than the dua of that moment. You are settling for less if you say that. Don't relate your gift with the iltimas-e-dua. This has to be unconditionally for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. This is the peak of isar that can happen. Peak of isar. So we find
This is the kind of tawakkul that they have displayed on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest mahbub personalities of Allah doing the highest level of tawakkul. Having no attachment, no hope attached towards the creatures. They don't even look towards the creatures. Is that right?
All they looked towards their life, throughout their life, was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that this there was when Prophet was present in the presence of some of his ashab, and a bird came on top of the head of Rasulullah, started to cry. Obviously, in our belief system, we believe the Prophet, our Prophet, and our Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, all of them speak all the languages, not only of all the humans earlier and later generations, not only the languages that have disappeared from our planet, but also the languages of the birds and the fishes and the, you know, and the animals and every existence which has its own language. Every existence, I already told you in the workshop, performs the zikr of Allah. In their own language they perform the zikr of Allah, but we don't understand. So Prophet used to speak all the language. This bird came on top, hovering over the head of the Prophet and screaming and saying something. And Prophet said to those of the ashab present there, is there anybody who has separated the baby of this bird? And one of the companions said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, I am the one who hunted, I separated his baby. Prophet said that upon my shafa'at and intercession, can you return its baby back to him, to the bird? And he said, because of for your sake, I free the baby. So then Holy Prophet replies back, Allahu altafu bi'ibadihi min at-tayri biwaladihi. Allah is more latif, more merciful towards his servants than the bird towards its baby. Please say salawat. When we do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, man taqarraba ilayya shibran taqarrabtu ilayhi zira'an, man atani mashyan ataituhu harwalatan. Whoever get close to me one hand span, I get close to him one zira' means the equal to the size of your arm. So Allah always takes a lead. If you come towards Allah walking, Allah comes towards you fastly walking towards you. Allah is already there, but we are supposed to take the step. We are supposed to start behaving well towards Allah and His teachings. This woman comes to the Holy Prophet and says, Ya Rasulullah, what shall I do that I committed a sin? Prophet says, Allah forgives if you do the tawbah. And she says, Ya Rasulullah, but what can I do when the hafaza, means the angels who are assigned to register the deeds, the hafaza have already written down my sin. Prophet says, Allah will make the angels forget your sin. Angels never forget, isn't it right? Angels are masoom, masooms never forget nothing. Look at the mercy of Allah, how far the mercy of Allah takes us. Dua Kumail is a dalil where Amir al-Mumineen says, Kunta anta al-raqiba alayya min wara'ihim wa shahida lima khafiya anhum. You were the raqib and muraqib and caretaker over me alongside behind the angels. Wa shahida lima khafiya anhum. And you were a witness, Allah, Imam Ali says to Allah, you were a witness over me, lima khafiya anhum, about what was makhfi and hidden over the angels. So there are certain sins that Allah even hides from the angels who are writing down the sins. Can you imagine the mercy of Allah? Wa bi lutfika akhfaita, Dua Kumail says, and you hid it out of your lutf and special mercy. So Allah sometimes hides our sins, and sometimes Allah erases from the minds and the memory. Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah is powerful over everything. He erases from the memory of the angels. Tomorrow when I am resurrected on the Day of Judgment, and those two angels were present, and I already told you the other day that the angels never get repeated, isn't it right? Every single day of our life we have two different angels, minimum two. Different angels coming every single day of our life. So there are now thousands of angels standing in front of us. So those two angels in whose presence I did the sin, Allah erases from their memory. If a person does the sin, this angel, you know, who is on the right, he says to the angel on the left, angel on the right, sahibul yameen awla ala sahibi shimal. Angel on the right has more walayat and authority over the angel on the left. Even among two angels, Allah did not leave without making one to be the wali of the other. Isn't that right? Even among two angels, Allah did not leave without making one to be the wali and hakim over the other. How can Allah leave the entire humanity without the wali and khalifa? And how would Rasulullah leave this ummah without a wali and khalifa? And how would Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam leave us in the time of ghaybat without a wali? Imam Sahib al-Zaman follows the sunnah of Rasulullah, isn't it right? He's not reinventing the wheel. So two angels are there and one has the walayat over the other. So this on the right says to the one on the left, you know, that wait for ujjala. Hadith says ujjala tis'a sa'at. He's given the time frame of 9 hours. 9 hours time frame. If this guy didn't do tawbah, for within 9 hours, if he does the tawbah, this angel on the right doesn't let the angel on the left to write down the sin. 9 grace hours. Look at the mercy of Allah. And when the time passes by, this angel on the right says, "Ma aqalla haya'a hadhal abd." How less is the haya? Kitna be sharm, kitna kam sharm ye insaan hai. Ma aqalla haya'a hadhal abd. See, Allah gave him the opportunity, but he still did not benefit from that opportunity. In other words, so we find that this woman comes to the Prophet and said, "What shall I do when the angels have already written down my sins?" Prophet replies back, "Allah will remove from the memory of the angels." That means if you do the tawbah, Allah will remove it, your sin, from the memory of the angels. So he won't remember. In other words, on the day of judgment, this woman won't be embarrassed in front of the angel. So now she said, "But Ya Rasulullah, what can I do when the earth has already witnessed my sin?" Earth is a witness too. Isn't that right? So Rasulullah replies back, "Yawma tubaddalul arsh." He recited the ayat of Quran, "Yawma tubaddalul ardu ghayral ard." On the day when the earth will be changed into other than the earth. So earth will be changed, in other words. So now she replies back, "But what can I do, Ya Rasulullah, when the heaven, Asman, has already witnessed my sin?" Prophet recited the ayat of Quran, "Yawma natwis sama'aka tayyis sijilli lil kutub." On the day we will roll up the heaven the way the scrolls are rolling up of the scrolls for writing. So then she says to Rasulullah, "But what can I do when I feel haya towards Allah? I feel embarrassed in front of Allah." That's where Rasulullah replies back, "Al haya o min Allah." Haya is from Allah. Please say salawat. So if we retain this haya towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will abstain from these situations. So we find, la deena liman la haya'a lahu. Someone who doesn't have haya has no religion. This is one of those great values of Islam which has no translation in any other language. This is one of those values of Islam which is equal in its value to the entire religion Islam. You can put Islam on one side and you can put haya on the other side and it's equal in the value. Now you can understand how important haya is in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the haya is gone, this is why we are asked not to speak a lot. Isn't it right? Because we are decreasing our haya and killing our spirituality by talking a lot. So, we find that when haya is gone, what happens is that the ummah of Rasulullah is ready to massacre the son of Rasulullah. Because the haya is gone. Even the son of the daughter of Rasulullah, the only one who is surviving on the earth, these people who claim to be Muslims, who claim to be the followers of Prophet, and they are praying behind Umar ibn Sa'ad la'anatullahi alayh, are here to slaughter the son of the Holy Prophet in the name of Islam. And how Imam Sajjad says in his hadith, كُلٌّ يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِدَمِهِ.
Each one of them are killing Hussein ibn Ali qurbatan in Allah. They are seeing taqarrub towards Allah through the dam, through the blood of Hussein. Can you imagine how lowly a person can get in the understandings and the practice of Islam? Yeah. They are killing Imam Hussein qurbatan in Allah.
How lowly a person can get. And look at the azamat and shahamat and shuja'at of Mawla Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam.
In the night before Ashura, my Mawla is there with his ashab and present with the Ahlul Bayt. And in that night, you find Imam Hussein extinguishes the lamp. And not only extinguishes the lamp, but he says, Zaruni wa ha'ula, leave me with them. لِيَأْخُذْ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْكُمْ بِيَدِ رَجُلٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي. Each one of you should grab the hand of one person of my Ahlul Bayt and leave. Look at the shahamat and shuja'at. If we are in that kind of situation, a person would be protecting his supporters. Is it right? Trying to attract more help from others. Not allow the supporters to leave because I already are lacking the supporters. Look at the shuja'at and tawakkul of Hussein ibn Ali. Because his reliance is not on the khalq and the creatures. His tawakkul is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. This is the sign of the mahbub personalities of Allah. Even in the time when you are in the most crucial time of your life, you are about to die. But he is extinguishing the lamp and asking everyone to leave. And that everyone, our scholars say, includes the Ahlul Bayt. Because in the mukhatam of Imam Hussein, in that area, in that khiyam, even Ahlul Bayt were present at that time. Even, you know, Ali Akbar and Abul Fazl Abbas were also present in that time. Look at the shuja'at of Imam Hussein. He needs nobody. Everybody needs Imam Hussein. This is his shuja'at. And nobody leaves Imam Hussein because these people, all of them are Ahlul Yaqeen. Imam Hussein showed, some of the narrations say, Imam Hussein showed their level and daraja in paradise in that night. They deserve to be like this. And the first person to react towards this offer of Mawla Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam was Abul Fazl Abbas. He is the one who is showing the reaction towards that offer. How can Abul Fazl Abbas leave him? This is the azamat of Abul Fazl Abbas alayhi salam. And we find on the next day, when at the time of Wida, the mere Mawla, Wida-e Akhir ke liye, Shahzadi Zainab ke paas aate. اپنی بہن کے پاس آتے ہیں تو اب روایت میں ہے کہ آخری وقت میں میرے مولا نے گریہ کیا اب تو شہزادی زینب نے گریہ کا سبب پوچھا تو میرے مولا کیا کہتے ہیں کیف لا ابکی وعما قلیل تساقون بین العدا میں کیوں نہ رو جب تھوڑی دیر کے بعد تم لوگ دشمنوں کے دوران پھرائے جاؤ گے کتنی پرواہ ہے میرے مولا کو کتنی حیا ہے میرے مولا میں کہ آپ کی حیا کو یہ گوارا نہیں ہے کہ اہل حرم بیبیاں بے مکناؤ چادر غیروں کے سامنے پھر آئی جائیں کیا شان ہے میرے مولا کی کتنی پرواہ ہے روایت میں ہے کہ شب عاشور جب آتی ہے عصر عاشور کے بعد جناب شہزادی زینب نے سب بچوں کو اکٹھا کرنا شروع کیا اب تو جناب فاطمہ بنت الحسین کے سرحانے پہنچتی ہیں جناب فاطمہ بنت الحسین کا سر جناب شہزادی زینب اپنے آغوش میں لیتی ہے خود جناب فاطمہ بنت الحسین راوی ہے کہ اس ہنگام میں اشقیہ ایک شقی میرے پیچھے دوڑ رہا تھا نیزہ لیے ہوئے میرے حجاب کو نوچنے کے لیے یہاں تک کہ اس نے نیزے کو مارا اور شہزادی جناب فاطمہ بنت الحسین بے ہوش ہو گئی اب جو آنکھ کھلی تو دیکھ کھاؤنٹا سر جو شہزادی زینب کی آغوش میں ہے اب جو آنکھ کھلی تو سب سے پہلا سوال کتنی حیا ہے اہل بیت میں سب سے پہلا سوال شہزادی سے کیا پوچھتی ہے فاطمہ بنت الحسین میرا پردہ کہاں ہے شہزادی نے جواب دیا امتوں کی مثلوں کی تمہاری چچی بھی تمہاری طرح ہے یعنی شہزادی کے سر پہ بھی چادر نہیں کتنی حیا ہے اہل بیت میں یہاں تک کہ یہ ہوا
قافلہ جب کوفہ لے جایا جاتا ہے تو اب وہاں کوفے کی ایک خاتون کتنی بے حیائی ہے کہ اس کس انداز سے اہل بیت کی بیویوں کا تماشا دیکھ رہے ہیں اور تماشا دیکھ رہے ہیں. یہاں تک کہ کسی نے پوچھا, ایک خاتون نے چھت کے اوپر سے سوال کیا اہل حرم سے کہ من ایل اسارا انتن, تم کس گھرانے کی قیدیاں قیدی ہو؟ تو جواب دیا گیا, نحن اسارا آل محمد, ہم آل محمد کے قیدی ہیں. اب بے شرمی کی انتہا کہ اب صدقے کی کھجوریں دیے جا رہی ہیں, صدقے کی کھجوریں بچوں کو تقسیم کی جا رہی ہیں. جناب ام کلثوم نے کیا فرمایا, ان صدقتا علینا محرمت, صدقہ ہم پر حرام ہے. بچی کے ہاتھ سے لے کے آپ نے الگ کر دیا, الگ کر دیا گیا. یہاں تک کہ روایت میں ہے کہ ام حبیبہ آگے بڑھتی ہے, ام حبیبہ آگے بڑھتی ہے, ظاہر ہے کہ کنیز تھی نا امام حسین کے گھر میں, شہزادی زینب کے گھر میں, اب آگے بڑھتی ہے, پہچانا تو نہیں شہزادی کو, آگے بڑھی اور کہا کہ میری والی جو کھجورے ہیں وہ کھجورے صدقے کی نہیں ہے بلکہ میں نے نظر کی تھی. اب شہزادی زینب پوچھتی ہے ام حبیبہ سے, تمہاری نظر کیا تھی؟ تو کہتی ہے, میری نظر تھی اللہ مجھے توفیق دے کہ اپنے مولا و آقا امام حسین اور اپنی شہزادی زینب کی زیارت پہ جا سکوں. تب بی بی نے جب یہ سنا تو کہا, مدینہ جانے کی اب ضرورت نہیں وہاں, کیونکہ زینب خود تمہارے شہر میں آ گئی. ایک مرتبہ ام حبیبہ تڑپ گئی, چاہنے والی ہے نا, تڑپ گئی, ارے کہاں ہے میری شہزادی, کب آئی ہے, مجھے تو خبر بھی نہیں ہوئی. شہزادی زینب کہتی ہے, اگر دیکھو گی تو کیا پہچان لوگی؟ کہتی ہے, کیوں نہیں, کوئی نہیں پہچانوں گی, میری وہ شہزادی ہے. اب زینب, روایت میں ہے کہ جناب زینب نے کہا, میں زینب ہوں مگر ابھی بھی نہ پہچانی, مگر حق ہے ام حبیبہ, تمہیں حق ہے کہ زینب کبرا کو نہ پہچانو, کیونکہ کہاں جناب زینب کو بے مکدہ و چادر دیکھا تھا, کہاں جناب زینب کو اسیری کی حالت میں دیکھا تھا. چنانچہ ابھی ام حبیبہ کیا کہتی ہے شہزادی سے, میری زینب کی تو ایک علامت ہوا کرتی تھی, اور علامت یہ تھی کہ وہ کبھی بھی اپنے بھائی حسین سے جدا نہیں ہوتی تھی. یہ سنا تو ایک مرتبہ شہزادی نے نوکے نیزہ پہ بلند مولا کے سر کی طرف اشارہ کیا, وہ حسین کا سر ہے, زینب ابھی بھی بھیا سے جدا نہیں ہوئی. Thank you.